If your spider plant is looking peaky and that Venus flytrap you bought just kicked the bucket, you need On the Ledge, the podcast about indoor gardening where you learn everything you need to know to keep your houseplants looking lush. I'm Jane Perrone. Join me and a host of wonderful guests to chat all things houseplants at On the Ledge Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 476 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper, and joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, it was good.
No Colton this week. He is running late at work, so we're knocking this out. On this week of LeagueCast, we had a lot of stuff to talk about. It's a jam-packed episode. We've got Riot's thoughts on Creature Champs, Gwen Teaser, Gwen Champion Trailer, Gwen Abilities, Gwen Champion Insights, a whole patch 11.7. We have something that happened basically as soon as we were finished recording the show last week with Valve and Smurfing in Dota 2. So we'll talk about that. We've got we'll talk about the playoffs that are happening as well as some MSI stuff that's going down. We have roundtable answers and a new roundtable question, and we've got a few emails that we're gonna get through. So before we get into our weeks, we actually, for the first time in a while, have a sponsor. This episode is sponsored by U.GG, the only profile site with your LP per game. Now, the site with the best data for builds and tier lists, according to Riot itself, has the best data for profiles too. Track your LP gains and losses, as well as your promo series matches. Want to show off your new rank or a carry performance? Simply create an account on U.GG to pin a match, or set your favorite skin as the background. We have been using U.GG for basically any argument that we have to pull up stats. That's what I always go to, is like, well, go into UGG, pull up the numbers. But it's one of the things that they've recently added is tracking the amount of LP you gain and lose per game, which is really sick. So yeah, go to UGG. We'll be posting a link for you guys to click on. Please click on it, and it would be pretty dope to get a lot of interaction with that. You can just make an account, it's free. If you want to sign up for premium, that's $1, so not a big deal at all. Thanks to U.GG. Aiden, tell me about your week, please.
My week was good. I played League of Legends a fair bit, actually. I've been climbing in D3. I think I am now D3, 64 points. Still negative win rate, though. But
I saw that you were winning a lot recently, and I was kind of upset because, like, for just one moment, I want to be higher ranked than one of your accounts.
Yeah, I think
by the time we record a show.
Yeah, I think my Surf's D3-0 and my main's D3-64, which is pretty good. So I think I'm like three games away from D2, and I think I can get there. I feel like I'm playing pretty well for the most part. So.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's going well. I'm really having a fun time playing Tahm Kench top, and I feel like we've had a lot of listeners who have also been enjoying playing the character, so I'm glad I've been teaching the ways of the Kench to people.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
That's sweet.
Other than that, though, I've been playing a little bit of Wild Rift.
I think we'll talk
more about it next week, because our show is so jam-packed this week. But just, like, my initial thoughts is I love a lot of things that they're doing. Like, aesthetically, it looks great. The client feels great. I love how the smaller map feels. Like, they made the map feel the same, but still, like, quicker. Like, you don't notice that, like, it's smaller and all that stuff. The way that they've made games, like, 15-minute average feels so fucking good. I want a quick mode in, like, actual League of Legends. I think I'd be so good as a casual mode.
I wish there were a quick mode that wasn't... that where you could pick your character, basically.
Yeah. Like, it would be perfect, though, if you could have that same thing where you, like, get your ult at level 5, your level caps at 15. You don't have to, like, buy, like, starting items and stuff. It's just like, it's so good. It's I really would like to see something like that in League. So it's really good overall. I do think it still feels clunky. I mean, phone games are clunky in general. I don't think there's ever a time where if I have the ability to play League, I'm going to choose to play Wild Rift over League. So I think that's like, I guess, like a little bit different, but I also don't think they're trying to appeal to me as like their primary market. I think they're trying to appeal to people who do play on like phones and stuff like that. But either way, very polished, really happy with how it looks. You get a lot of shit free by just playing like in this opening like beta period. So I'd recommend it to people. It's fun though.
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way, especially working from home. Like, I don't know if there'll be a time when I really have a desire to play Wild Rift over a regular league game, but you know, I'll definitely log in and check it out.
Yeah, but I've also been playing a little bit of Legends of Runeterra. That's pretty fun. That's a game that also just gives you shit for free, like a ton of stuff. Absolutely. So I've really been enjoying my time playing that as well. What about you, though?
I have also been playing Legends of Runeterra. I was spamming some Lab of Legends, which is the solo, like, what do they call it in Expeditions? Do they call it Expeditions in Hearthstone?
I don't remember what they're called. Gauntlets? I don't remember.
Gauntlet sounds right. Like, but that. you get to like pick your cards, build your deck, get some like powers as well. And that's pretty fun. They added some new stuff, two new heroes, Azir and Talia, as well as like four new difficulty levels.
Yeah.
So they added a lot of depth to that. I'm glad it's something that they're actively developing and not just kind of one and done-ing. That's the way I prefer to play the game. Otherwise, played a couple games on my Smurf, no games on my main. Been playing some Cyberpunk, enjoying that. They had so Aiden, did you happen to see how big patch 1.2 was?
I heard it was like almost the same size as the game. Like, it was crazy, right?
I don't know if it was that. So it was mine massive, on Steam though, right? Was 28.8 gigs.
Oh yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah,
For just the patch, but it fixed, I think, like upwards of 400, you know, things, which is it is sad that the game had 400 things that needed fixing. But
Warzone just had a patch this week that was 56 gigs.
Oh my God.
But it was like one of those, like, lots of games are doing this thing where they have like this massive patch, but it reduces the size of the game by like
so it was like that type
of patch. So, because Warzone having a 100 gig game on your computer was a little bit much for a lot of people. So I think that was the main thing. But downloading a 56 gig patch is kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, specifically with Warzone, I don't want to talk about it for too long, but a lot of it has to do with like the language packs, right? Like the fact that you download every single
language. Yeah,
which seems like, I guess, good initially, but bad for the user.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so aside from that, I think that's about it. Been rewatching through Tiger King with my girlfriend again. That show is absolutely wild. I think that's about it. We're progressing through JoJo. We just finished up, spoiler, The Invisible Baby.
Yeah.
So, enjoying that. That's pretty good. Nice. We're waiting on a JoJo announcement this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Pretty poggers. Let's get into the show, though. We've got four new patrons getting it just in time for the new month starts tomorrow. So, thank you to Drew, Brennan, Smeg, Mork, and Jazzy Joshua Juggernaut. That's going to be difficult to say. Thank you. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. We appreciate it a bunch. Do we have any LeagueCast news, Aiden?
We have a little bit of LeagueCast news. So tomorrow is the first, meaning we have a monthly plays video that goes up tomorrow. I think a day or two ago, our last month of Zed Talks went up on YouTube, like, for free.
Yeah.
If you're not a patron, for $1, you can go watch that on YouTube now. If you are a patron, though, we did just record our OP and Q episode that went up a couple days ago. So you can go watch that for $1, or you can wait a month and it will be free on both our Patreon and on YouTube. That's patreon.com/leaguecast or youtube.com/leaguecast.
Yeah. $1 will get you access to that as well. Awesome. Aiden, tell me about Riot's thoughts on Creature Champions.
Yeah, so people are, I guess, like, this is like a little bit too early to go into it, but Gwen came out and people are upset that she's not an actual doll because her lore is based off the fact that Isolde, whatever her name is, Viego's wife, was a seamstress and she created this doll at one point, and this doll somehow came to life, and people were like, it's so funny. So like the teaser came out, right, which kind of shows, it's going to be this doll, right? And then another, like, 2 hours later, they actually released the character. But in those 2 hours, people immediately speculated, oh, bro, this is gonna be so sick. It's gonna be a fucking doll character, like a living, like, creepy doll. And people were very disappointed, but it's an anime girl. So Riot kind of come out and said, like, hey, we kind of started like doing this aesthetic in the, like, the last year or so, and if you look at all of our characters, they've been like very human humanoid characters, and this just has been our aesthetic for a while. They sell really well, yada yada yada. But that being said, we have realized that people don't want just humanoid characters, so in the next like little bit, we're going to be shifting to humanoid hybrids, like the Elises, the Lilias, whatever, and more creature characters. The problem is that their pipeline is a very long pipeline, so we're not going to start seeing this until like early 2022, sort of thing, as they like change. So
that makes sense.
But either way, it's been identified by them, and it's going to be something that we're going to see more creature champions in the future. So
interesting. That's awesome. Sweet. Which takes us to, I guess, a good transition to Gwen, the living doll, which is still a doll, but definitely a more anime girl. Her passive, we'll just run through her abilities, I guess, really quick. Passive is Thousand Cuts. Her basic attacks deal bonus on-hit magic damage based on a percentage of her enemy's maximum health. Basic attacks against champions will heal her for some of the damage dealt.
Mm-hmm.
Her Q is snip snip. She rapidly snips her scissors between 2 and 6 times, dealing magic damage in a cone. At a minimum, she will snip twice, adding 1 snip per basic attack that she is able to land on an enemy, up to 4 for a total of 6 snips. Enemies in the center of each snip will take true damage, as well as the bonus magic damage from her passive. Her W is Hallowed Mist. She spins up the Hallowed Mist to surround her for 5 seconds, gaining some armor and magic resist when in it. Enemies outside of the mist cannot target her or hit her with any abilities. The mist will allow or will move to follow her the first time she tries to leave it, but will dissipate the next time. Mm-hmm. Her E is Skip and Slash. Gwen dashes a short distance and empowers her attacks with increased range, speed, and on-hit magic damage for 4 seconds. Attacking an enemy during this time refunds half of the ability's cooldown. And the ultimate is a Needlework. She can cast Needlework up to 3 times, but it needs to hit an enemy within 8 seconds to unlock each. But she needs to hit an enemy within 8 seconds to unlock each subsequent cast. Each cast fires needles in a line that deals magic damage, slows enemies, and applies her passive bonuses. Her passive's bonus magic damage. The first cast will fire 1 needle. The second will fire 3. And the final cast will fire 5 for a total of 9 needles and 9 applications of her passive to enemies hit. So they've said she's a peppy skirmisher. Mm-hmm. Sort of an AP on hit top laner is their intention. I have my doubts that she'll be like pure AP, I guess. I think we'll see like a hybrid. I can't see this champion not being built with Blade of the Rune King, I guess is my thought.
It depends on does her auto attacks and her Q proc Blade. I'm assuming they don't is like the main thing.
I don't think if they did, Q they would does. Be. I don't know if her Q does.
Yeah.
But obviously attack speed is going to be really good on this character as you're able to you know, get more snips out on your Q. I guess the only thing to note, her abilities are pretty straightforward. I'm sure we'll see a little bit of complexity as she gets released. But her W functions very similarly to like a Samira W combined with Senna W, I guess. Yeah. But if you're inside of it, she gets the bonus armor and MR, but you know, you can still attack her and CC her and everything. So she seems really interesting. Her kit looks super fucking smooth.
Yeah. I think she's really cool. I was looking at their Champion Insight thing where they kind of like talked about like creating this character and why they decided to go with this like aesthetic and stuff like that. It's like really, really interesting. I would really recommend people read the Champion Insights on Gwen. But the main thing that was interesting is that they talked about some scrapped champion ideas. They always talk about like SFX and stuff like that. That's always interesting. But the most interesting thing to me was when they're talking about like abilities and stuff like that. And they had this really cool idea where her, I'm not sure if it was supposed to be her ultimate or like just one of her regular abilities, where she would throw her like a needle thing and you'd throw it into someone and then like attach it to someone else and it would pull them together. Kind of like a Zac Q type ability, but with like a ranged thing. But they realize that they're trying to make a skirmisher, and when you start giving skirmishers CC, that becomes very problematic. So they just went like with this more like no CC damage focused character.
Interesting. It really functions. This is going to be lost on a lot of people, but like Kael'thuzad in Heroes of the Storm, where you hit someone with ability and then a chain comes out and links like two people together.
Yeah.
Pretty. That's what it looks like to me. But
it's a really cool looking ability. But yeah, I understand why it got scrapped. They just can't give a character like that CC and stuff. So
I really like her design. I know a lot of people aren't fans of it, I suppose. but I think it's really, really cool. Really well done. I've already heard that people don't think that she belongs in League, like aesthetically, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make sense to me. I mean,
no, I think she looks great. Like looking at the end of that Champion Insights thing, like it looks like she's meant for League. It looks fine. Like
I like it a lot. She looks good.
Very cool.
And along with her abilities came a teaser and a champion trailer. That definitely you guys should check out. They're really well done, I think.
I do think it's funny. So. Everyone's like, I'm really glad that they're not just like doing the main character in the lore. Like Isol, I don't know what her fucking name is. Like Viego's wife, Isolade. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna call her Isolade until I know what her name is. But I wouldn't go that far because they might just release that character later because they're supposed to release a bunch of characters from this like lore arc, right? Mm-hmm. Like we know they're supposed to release a Yordle character from like this lore arc. I'm not sure if like we will see Viego's wife as a character, but I think it's really funny. People are immediately like, thank God they didn't just release his wife because that would be too obvious. It's like, I don't know, guys. Slow down.
I mean, like, I don't know. Also, who cares? I've never really understood the desire to release characters like strictly from lore, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I was never a person who... I can't wait for the Ruined King to come to League.
Yeah.
Like, I guess from a lore perspective, that would be pretty cool, but... I don't know.
I just don't read the lore enough, yeah.
Exactly. I feel like gameplay is really the only thing that I play League for, so.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Cool. That takes us right into patch 11.7. I'll be honest, I don't know if it's live or not. I don't have my client open. I think it is.
I think it is as well, yeah.
But straight up, we'll run through this really quick. Alistar's Q base damage is decreased later, and his E-empowered basic attack bonus damage has been decreased.
Yeah,
it's really interesting that they're nerfing his E empowered basic attack damage, I guess, because I feel like that's something that is less reliable than other parts of his kit.
It does do a lot. I'm actually kind of glad. It does, so many kills with Alistar like empowered out. It's just a 300 damage bop. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, that's in addition to the basic attack damage that already exists. So.
It's a lot of damage. Amoeba's getting his Q cost decreased and his E cooldown decreased. I think the Q cost decrease is really nice. Having the 30 mana Q is like really, really nice for that character.
I think the E cooldown is really good too. It's 1 second, which doesn't seem like much, but it's his primary clearing tool, which I think is going to be really good. Ash's ultimate has a cooldown decrease later in the game. It goes down to 60 seconds at max rank, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, it's really good. Really nice. Braum's E cooldown is decreased and his R maximum knock up duration is increased. So you still, if you like short take your ult, it's still really short. But if you hit the max range, it's like back up to like the 2 seconds, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my, they gutted this character. Hecarim. His E bonus movement speed has decreased later. It's down 10% at max rank.
Yeah, nothing changed. Being said, like, so we've been talking a lot on Discord. If you want to ever join in on these conversations about like buffs and nerfs,
come
and
tell
stuff,
me I'm wrong.
Yeah, just join our Discord, leaguecastpodcast.com/discord. We had a long conversation today, and I feel like Hecarim once again does fit in this category of who we'll get to Kai'Sa in the second of where I don't think they are the most OP character and need to be gutted anymore. So I feel like these changes are more the fact to get people to stop playing them, like. Yeah, Hecarim's still a top-tier jungler, but I do think Volibear, Udyr, whatever, are all better characters than him, and his pick ban rate is just high because he's been an OP pick for a while. And I think the same for Kai'Sa, where, like, Kai'Sa, like, I mean, her win rate's, like, dropped to, like, sub 50%, right? I think all the nerfs that she's gotten over the last little bit has been enough to make her not OP, but her pick ban rate is still so high because people are so slow to adapt to shit. So they have to give, like, characters, like, an extra nerf to, like, be like, hey, guys, stop fucking playing this character. Like, please.
I do feel like those are the two, like, primary roles in which, like, changes are less likely to take hold quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
I think like AD carry, like you're basically stuck with the meta like choices for a while. And then it kind of seems the same way with jungle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't see 80 carries, like, 80 carry players just experiment with, like, new shit, like, randomly. They just play what's meta. Or what's told them to be meta.
Exactly, but, exactly.
Ivern, his E base damage is decreased later. That's good.
Yeah, Kai'Sa, we'll talk about this. Her ultimate cooldown is increased by 20 seconds at rank 1, 10 seconds at rank 2, and then goes back to 70 seconds rank 3. My argument was I think this is kind of a nothing change.
It is for the most part, but...
Yeah, and it's just my frustration is you know, not that Kai'Sa is overpowered, I think. It's just the hypocrisy that comes with a lot of Riot's balancing decision. Where this character has literally been meta for a year and a half now.
Well, she's been on and off meta, but when she's meta, she's the best AD carry.
I mean, if it's been an on and off, it's been off for a really short time.
Well, she had like a 0%. She had literally zero pick ban at Worlds last year.
Did she? Okay, because I went back to season 9.
Yeah, she was super crazy at season 9 Worlds.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, she didn't get picked or banned once last year, though. That's like, gotcha. What I mean by off and on. But
yeah,
no, I agree though. When she's like meta, she's like insane, like above 40% pick ban always, sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's gonna happen with a lot of AD carries, just as a role, I think.
Yeah,
it's just really frustrating that it seems to always be that character.
Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sure some people will say like, "Oh, Aiden, you've been on the Kai'Sa hate train for like a while. Why are you getting off it?" My main problem with Kai'Sa was that she was the AD carry that if your team didn't pick Kai'Sa, you were probably losing bottom. And I think the meta's kind of evolved, or at least other characters have been buffed, or she's been nerfed enough that there's like maybe like 7 characters that I think are like fine to play bottom now. So it doesn't feel lose the game. Like Tristana's good. Like there's just like a ton of like ones that are coming up in the meta, and I just feel like she's probably still one of the best AD carries, but she's not like, holy fuck, they got Kai'Sa, we lose the game OP. And I feel like that's like a fine spot for AD carry. Like AD carries are always going to be min max to like whatever the best one is, and that's like,
yeah,
fine.
for sure.
Kindred awesome. Is getting Q bonus damage ratio is increased and her E cooldown is decreased.
Sweet. Lissandra Q base damage is increased. So this is only 10?
Yeah, it's 10
base damage on her Q, but I think she's like kind of sneaky OP with Everfrost.
Yeah, I played with Lissandra main in ranked a couple days ago. She's really good.
Yeah. I think especially with how prevalent the current like mid jungle duo like presence is in the game. I think it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, maybe she doesn't have enough damage like to hold her own.
Yeah. Next is Mordekaiser. His Q isolated champion damage is increased. It's a weird thing that they keep buffing, but sure.
Yeah. I don't want to see this buffed, and I don't, as long as it's not his passive, I guess.
Yeah.
His passive should not be a strong ability. Mm-hmm. Rell, E stun duration is decreased. So it's half a second now.
Teemo's passive bonus attack speed duration is increased, and the E on hit base damage is increased.
At some point, this character is going to be like nasty strong with like an on hit build.
So it's just crazy. So like, I don't think that character is ever going to be, unless they like double the numbers, I don't think he's going to be good outside of lane. But yeah, he will get to the point where he's too good in lane that he's pickable.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the big, I think a big change actually is the passive change.
Mm-hmm.
Going for 5 seconds is a really long time. And so it scales with level, at 1, 5, 10, and 15, but at level 1, you get 20%. At level 15, you get an 80% bonus for 5 seconds. That's kind of crazy.
There's just some lanes that he can abuse, like lanes where he can like, sit in between the minions and then literally just like hit S and then go stealth, and then if the enemy wants to come up and get a minion, you come out of stealth with a huge attack speed buff for 5 seconds. Like that's the lanes that he's gonna crap on. So
yeah,
it's good.
Yep. Thresh W base shield has been decreased later. Okay, that's pretty good.
Tristana's getting minus 2 AD.
Udyr, he's getting minus 2 AD.
Hell yeah. Varus is getting some AD growth.
Dang, it's kind of crazy that Varus is getting like this many buffs. Also, I've seen people play like a one shot Mura mana into full AP Varus, and it's done like nasty damage. I think it's like you proc your passive and you do a trillion damage, or your W passive.
Mm-hmm.
So his base attack growth is going up by 0.8.
York's getting the biggest buffs of the patch. This is like probably the only meaningful changes of the patch. So marked enemy champions and large monsters now awaken nearby graves. Mistwalkers now deal damage when they leap to enemies. E-cast paradigm updated. Yeah, that's like, those changes are crazy. Like, also, we're going to be talking about it in a minute, but Trinity Force is also getting buffed, which is his main mythic. Mm-hmm. Like, these changes, like, could be spooky, man. I'm like, worried
it could
that
be.
York's, like, going to be strong.
So, I guess we'll take this one by one. If I'm reading this correctly, I think his passive, or his, the marked enemy champions, it is now going to function like Alawi passive, or mm-hmm. Alawi E, right?
Yeah.
Where if she gets a spirit nearby, things just happen.
Yeah.
But that's it's kind of crazy. This is gonna sound kind of wild, but I honestly think Yorick jungle might be a thing too.
Yeah, it could be for sure. Also the last patch where they made it so turret doesn't auto target maiden, I think like those changes are scary. I'm scared of this character, but we'll have to mm-hmm. see. Some item changes. Everfrost is getting its gold reduced and its attack damage reduced. I'm just gonna.
Oh, this is Essence Reaver.
Oh, sorry, I said Everfrost. Mm-hmm. Essence Reaver, yeah. Everfrost though is getting its damage reduced and its cooldown increased, which is good. That item was OP. Mm-hmm. Lord Dom's is getting its cost increased by 100 gold and its attack damage reduced by 5. How do you pronounce this item again?
Sereldas.
Grudge is getting its cost decreased by 200. That's actually pretty big. And then the Trinity Force buffs, which are huge. So Trinity Force is getting +5 AD, -5 attack speed, and then its passive now applies on towers, which is like the craziest thing to me.
Yeah.
Oh, and also
wild.
Its mythic passive is getting changed from 10% attack speed to 3 attack damage, 3 movement speed, 3 ability haste whenever you get a completed legendary item.
That's really nice. So yep. At max, you could get, what, 12 AD, 12 MS, and 12 ability
yeah.
haste? That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. The movement speed's, like, crazy, actually. 12 movement speed's, like, really good.
Yeah, it's nice. Cool. Turbo Chem Take, the bonus move speed is lowered, and the slow has been increased. So less of a initiation item, more of a, like, sticking item now.
I think it's just as good. Like, I think 75% so movement... I think 75% movement speed is so crazy that 60... is still really good.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I actually feel that way about Essence Reaver.
Mm-hmm.
I think lowering it by 100 gold is actually, like, I'm not going to say a buff because the math just isn't there.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, I think it just should have been -10 AD and not -100 gold as well.
Essence Reaver is super gold efficient, so it's still gold efficient after these changes, without its passive, by the way, but just, like, less so. So
the crazy thing is, like, it's the only Sheen item that scales with total attack damage.
Yeah, it's actually wild.
So that, I mean, that's why it's so good, is like you just have access to a huge amount of scaling. Yeah. We've got some in-game shop updates. We've got some Rift ranked progression. Mm-hmm. There should be smoother LP gains and losses across the board.
Cool.
And then lots of bug fixes, as well as the release of one of the, like, I won't even, like, put any bias in it. The most interesting skin lines in a while. I really like it. We have the Space Groove skin line, which comes out with Lux, Rumble, Nasus, Nunu and Willump, Blitz and Crank, Lulu, Samira, and a Lulu Prestige Edition. Very retro future. Super cool. I really like it.
I like the Blitz skin, but I don't want to pay $20 for that.
But, is it $20?
Yeah, it's their legendary.
Oh, I see. I mean, the only one I'll probably pick up is, like, the Samira one. Samira, although really the Nasus cool. one is, like, super good.
Yeah.
And they all have chromas, if I'm not mistaken.
Even the Prestige skin does, doesn't it? I think. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's cool.
So the Prestige edition itself does not, but the base skin does.
Yeah, just usually, like, the Leona skin last patch was the first Prestige skin ever to have chromas for it. So
yeah.
Also, awesome. Just in the bug fixes, really quick, they changed the Seraphine thing. The
Seraphine interaction.
Yeah. So that's
nice.
Seraphine shouldn't be healing nearly as much now.
Yeah. So I actually get to play this on ARAM, mm-hmm. And you just start with, like, max effectiveness.
Yeah.
For your Moonstone. Like, you don't have to scale up with it. If you enter combat, it starts with four stacks or whatever.
Huh. Interesting.
So, pretty cool. Awesome. Let's move into, I guess, the bi-weekly.
Yeah, so this shouldn't be too long, but mm-hmm. So last week as we were ending, Valve put out a huge update to Dota in which it's like to encourage newer players to play the game. So they're doing stuff like, first of all, they're banning smurfing to make a newer player experience better. The quote for that is, starting today, smurfing will be a bannable offense. We will primarily focus on new accounts created after today for which we have high confidence in their smurfing and game ruining behavior. Moreover, we will occasionally manually ban old pre-existing accounts that are clearly game ruining. Furthermore, if you're found to be selling accounts, boosting, or engaged in similar ruining behaviors, your primary account may be subject to a ban. To go along with this, we've recently increased our ban rate for boosters and purchased accounts. So this is part of a wider initiative, which, by the way, it's really, really cool stuff that they're doing. They're just making it so it's like easier to like learn the game for newer players. They're introducing a new player mode. I'm not sure if you read about this, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I think League needs something like this. So it's a new player mode where you only play against new players that they're like sure are new players sort of thing. And it's a smaller character pool. There's like, what, 100 and something characters in Dota? Like 100-ish?
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I imagine they sort it by like difficulty.
Yeah, so it's like there'll only be like a pool of 40 characters that are available in this mode or something like that. And these are the only characters you'll see. So like it's much easier to learn the game when you're only playing against 40 different characters rather than like 100. So like if League had a version of this, you'd have like 40 characters in League rather than 150. And it would be much easier for players to learn the game, I think.
Yeah, agreed. I know this is I think this is primarily driven by the Dota anime that has been coming out. Because I've also seen a lot of talk on the Dota 2 subreddit about they recently re-released the tutorial mode as well. Like a completely revamped with I believe they got the help of like coaches, pro players, like basically anyone who would be willing to help out with this. But it's really cool. I guess the only thing worth discussing here is like it more in depth is how do we feel about the Smurf ban?
Yeah, that's like the vibe we for sure. I think it's overall really cool, but the actual smurfing thing, should Riot ban Smurfs or should Riot start pushing for a similar initiative, I guess, is the question.
So I think Smurf Queue was like a good try, and I think when it works really well, and when it doesn't work, it like it's bad, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can understand that like a game going like too well for one a game being lopsided in either direction is not healthy. You shouldn't have someone running it down and feeding, but you also shouldn't have, you know, someone 1,000 LP better than everyone else in the lobby, you know, trying to play in the same game. So I can see it. I honestly think the solution for this is like, if you want a Smurf, you can get a free level 30 account. But it has to be linked to your Riot account.
Yeah.
Like to your other account. I think that's the best way to do it, but I don't know.
I just think, they're like two different of games to say like they should immediately do the same thing as Valve,
agree.
I think is like the main like takeaway. That being said, I think it's a cool thing to discuss at the very least. I think League is a very hard game for like a lot of players to get into. And I think it is partially because like it's just not new player friendly. Like there are tons of Smurfs. Like that is the reality of it. The tools to learn the game aren't really there. Even though like it's the biggest game in the world, I really don't think Riot does a very good job of providing stuff. I think there's tons of good EDU content out there to learn the game, but I don't think Riot actually provides any of those.
Yeah.
That being said, I would be fine with them like making like at least shutting down boosters and levelers and people who sell accounts and stuff like that. Like that's where they should at least start, right? Like you once again, I don't want to promote any of this, but it is crazy that it takes, I don't know, fucking like 100 games, maybe more, probably like more than 100 games to level an account to 30. Or you can find sites out there that cost $3 to buy an account.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Like once again, I'm not trying to promote those. I just think it's insane that like that's out there. Like and Riot hasn't like tried to shut these down. Like there's
I would be
tons
more than
these...
willing to give Riot like $10 for a level 30 account and like 100k blue essence, something like that. Like
I mean, like, and Kennedy and I have like, talked about this a fair bit. They need like the right incentives. Like, there should be a program where you can't have a Smurf, and all it is like, I don't know if they want to give you all the characters. Like, obviously, in a perfect world, you make a Smurf, you buy a Smurf from them for like whatever, $10, $20, $30, and yeah, you have access to every character they have on your main. Sure, whatever. That's probably not how it's going to go. But let's just say you buy an account for $10, and every account you own on your main is like half price on your Smurf or something like that. Like, that would even be a cool incentive. But the downside is that if you're a toxic fuck, if you like flame people and get a chat restriction on your Smurf, your chat restriction's on your main. If you get permabanned on your Smurf, you get permabanned on your main. Like, these actions have to be like, you have to have consequences. You can't go on a Smurf and then not try.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can't flame people on a Smurf. You can't ruin new player experience. But that being said, no one wants to make a Riot Smurf account if they have it, unless there's the right incentives. And I think those right incentives have to be in the form of, like, allowing you to play characters that you own on your main, or, like, getting a discount,
yeah, for sure,
or whatever. But for sure, I think Riot really needs to figure that out in the next, like, little bit.
Yeah, I think that would be a good, like mid-season change, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe even a preseason to not fuck with ranked, but
yeah,
awesome. Let's talk about the playoffs. So I want to talk about EU first, because I think that's where the most entertaining game happened this week. The G2 Schalke series was absolutely fantastic. I don't know if you got to watch it.
I watched like, the highlights and stuff.
It was a banger.
Yeah,
it was a banger. That was a good series. It didn't. Some of the games felt really close, and then I think a couple of the games were pretty stompy. But it was really good, a really high quality series. I enjoyed it a lot. Then we had Rogue Mad Lions this week as well. Mad Lions took that 3-1. Oh, G2 took the series against Schalke 3-2, and then I think we already had lower bracket round one for them as well. For EU, which was Fnatic versus SK, and Fnatic took it 3-1.
Okay, yeah.
So, pretty entertaining. I thought the G2 Schalke series was the most entertaining series this weekend.
Yeah, it was super good. It definitely felt like a little bit like G2 trolling a bit. Like, I don't think
it did.
G2 has always been the team that they try shit in like games. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they play that sloppy if it was like Worlds or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think a good like descriptor was they didn't have a lot of respect for Schalke, I think.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the series was already won for them. Which, I mean, with that lineup, I can understand why.
Yeah.
But Schalke almost did it.
No, it's still really entertaining overall.
It was a good series. Then we had lower bracket and upper bracket for this past weekend. No, I'm sorry. We just had lower bracket for LCS.
Yeah.
We had TSM versus EG. TSM took it 3-1. And we had 100 Thieves versus Dig. 100 Thieves took it 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of crazy. I don't, Dig just didn't look like they belonged, honestly. Sad, but
like, not
that
to,
is
like,
okay.
Not to drain in on like the narrative that like is forming out about players, but it is crazy. I think EG's lineup's like pretty good, but like, why do they have Defly on that lineup?
I don't know.
I guess it's because TSM has two of the best AD carries for some reason on their lineup.
Yeah.
But like, why isn't someone like Cody Sun on like EG instead?
Why is Cody Sun not on a team?
Yeah, why is he on their academy team? That's so crazy. But yeah. Either way, we're seeing TSM versus 100 Thieves next week, I believe. So,
yep, or is it? I think so.
And also Cloud19 Liquid, or is that the week after?
I feel like it should be both. Yeah.
We're running out of time before MSI, so it's got to be
both. I was going to say, it's got to be both. So, pretty exciting. We have some MSI stuff. Do you want to run down that real quick?
Yeah. So, it's just kind of like talking about groups and stuff like that. So, they randomly seeded the groups. So, it's going to be LPL, VCS, LCL, LCO in one in group A. Group B is LEC, PCS, TCL, and CB LOL. Group C is LCK, LCS, LLA, and LJL. Top two teams get out of each of those groups. So, I mean, even though LCS is a tier 2 seed and they did pull LCK, I think there should just be the other two regions pretty easily. That being said, the coolest thing about this update is the MSI prize update that people are probably going to be upset about later, but I think it's a really cool thing. So the MSI champions now will get their region extra team at Worlds.
Oh, okay.
So if like China wins, they get four teams instead of three. is the idea. But so, and then they also announced that after MSI concludes, the global power rankings will be determined, which is Worlds and MSI performances by region, and the team with the highest ranking league will get an additional slot unless they want MSI. So two teams are going to have four teams at Worlds, or two regions are going to have four teams at Worlds, and those are going to be, I mean, probably just between LPL, LEC, and LCK. That LEC can only get an extra spot if they win MSI. I don't think there's a way for them to get it off points, from like what I remember. LPL, as long as they make semis, gets it off points, unless they win, and then LCK gets it regardless. So it's probably going to be LCK and LPL unless LEC wins MSI. So we're probably getting four LCK and LPL teams.
Probably. Worlds.
But it's cool. I like that. I like that MSI matters towards like the other international event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Which takes us into the roundtable.
Yeah, that's my section. Let me pull it up really quick. I have it right here. Cool. So last week's question was, if every champion was given a computer and an input device appropriate to them, who would be the best at the game? Who would be the worst? What each champion made themselves? This was submitted by Psygonic last week. So starting off with our Twitter, we got some good responses. We got one from Alex Xander Whitehair. He says, Vel'Koz has so many eyes and arms, it wouldn't even be fair. Dragon Tom said, so I agree that it would be Vel'Koz because he's the most intelligent champion in the game, but I think you guys misunderstood, as they would be given an input device appropriate to them, meaning Vel'Koz would just have like a three button control system for the game. I think some other he goes on to like another comment about stuff. And the last one from Twitter is from Straw Hat Alec, and he said Heimer would be the best since he's super smart. Draven would 100% main himself, since you know League of Draven. Mundo would be the worst. Mundo smashes the keyboard and isn't very smart. From our Facebook, Kyle said, how about good old Jericho Swain? Being the grand general means that you oversee or devise battle strategies poised to conquer nations. Plus, who knows what those demonic fingies could possibly do. That's funny. Michael said Victor would be the best. I would describe my solo queue teammates as actual Dr. Mundos, so he'd be the worst. Chris said Elise, an input device that allows her to use all of her spider legs in either form would certainly give her an advantage. From our Discord, Famous Sai said Rakan and Xayah meaning each other, with Rakan being the wild AD carry, getting random triples, and Xayah trying to save Rakan as Rakan. Pard said, I think Victor would be the best, probably just scripting and stuff. He would just main whatever does the best against Heimer. True. Speedy Spike says Echo, he would eventually know how to play each time fight to get Pentas every time, and would replay smite fights until he won those 100%. And then last but not least, we have one from Nerf, who said, I think Master Yi would be the best because he would never tilt. Anger brings motivation without purpose. I think he would play linear scaling champions like Nasus, Veigar, Senna, as another one, his quote is doubt is the greatest enemy. Oh, then Emmett also says, Ezreal's own Smurf account where he only plays Lux and he owns every skin. True. Yeah, it's good. So this week's roundtable question is, how do you stop tilt?
I don't think I'm a great person to answer this because I just queue up for another one.
Yeah, I feel like that's how a lot of people deal with it. They just play more. But I
feel like it's gone instantly as soon as I win, which is probably very unhealthy.
That just doesn't sound like you can't deal with stuff properly. It's funny.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Realistically, stop playing League.
Yeah.
And like do some exercising, like go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, exercises is so good for like clearing and resetting your mental. And then it's important, obviously, to realize that at the end of the day, it is just a game that we all should be having fun playing. You know, even if you're in a competitive setting, that it's not the end of the day it's not the end of the world to lose a game.
Yeah.
How about you?
For me, I just take a break after two losses. That's my kind of in and out. If you lose two in a row, you get off. You don't play more. You're not allowed to play a third game after losing two. Even if you're not tilted, because there's always a little bit of tilt in there. If you're down two games and you're not tilted at all, if anything goes wrong in that third game, you're immediately off for sure. So
this is another one. Cool.
I just think the hard rule of don't play more than two if you've lost two in a row, then is like a really, really good rule. So
Yeah.
Would recommend it to people.
Awesome. If they want to answer the roundtable,
they can send it to our Facebook or Twitter at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's leaguecastpodcast.com/discord.
Awesome. The first email is from Jighee, who says, G'day. Don't know if y'all remember your old mate Buck from Down Under and Drop Bear Country, but I thought I'd check in. Stop playing League the start of last year due to having my first kid. But you fucking know I ain't stopped listening to my absolute favorite five-starry podcast.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, guy. Thank you, dude. Anyway, kids kind of started being able to fight off the dingoes himself, so I'm getting back into League. And what did I find in my YouTube recommended? The Ultimate Tom Kench Guide.
Hell yeah.
A gift from the Lord Aiden. And boy, have I used and abused that guide. I am in no way, shape, or form good at this game. I swear being a dad removes gaming ability and replace it with the ability to leap 30 feet across a playground to catch a child who's nosediving off the slide. But I have been absolutely shitting on literally everyone I play against, and I don't understand how more people aren't on this. Anyway, that's it. Tom is king. I am dad. Y'all are as dope as ever. Been listening for a long-ass time, and y'all are the best three hosts this show could have. No diss to the old boys. They were great. Thanks for enabling this dad bod to appear like a father figure in-game. Peace out, boys. I won't apologize as I kept the email nice and succinct. Jighee. That was so well-worded.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sweet. Good luck with Tom Kench and your child.
Yeah, keep climbing, my dude.
Hell yeah. Cool. Let's see. Oh, we had a pretty funny Yasuo rework by Jeff Shua. If you want to check it out, you can look in our Champion Concepts channel in the Discord. It was more satirical than serious, so we're going to leave it there and just give it a shout out. It was pretty funny.
Like, I think some people didn't get it, which I'm sure some people did, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. He leaned heavily into a lot of the Yasuo stereotypes.
Yeah.
So definitely worth a read. Thank you, Jeff Shua. Next email is from Ideas Guy. Hello, gentlemen / avoid beings. I wanted to say in reference to what League Champ plays League best, Trinomir is already playing it, just gets so angry that he can't stop rage queuing. Also, do you think it's better to climb from low elo with an easy champ I can play well now with less room to grow, or to learn a difficult champ and climb with that? The example he gives is Malphite versus Riven. I must express my sorrow for the length of my electronic communication. Your friendly neighborhood ideas guy. What are your thoughts on that, Aiden? Because I have an answer for that. And I wonder if it's different from mine.
For what was that?
Is it better to climb from low elo with an easy champ that he can play now with less room to grow as a player, or to learn a difficult champ and to climb with that?
Oh, I think it's like playing easy champions all the way. I think that you just learn the game passively while you're like playing, and if you can focus on like the other game stuff while you're just playing an easy character, like that's fine. You can learn a character whenever you want. You can go like just play a custom game every day and just practice character stuff, and you'll learn the character. You don't need to do that and like climb while climbing solo queue. That's like for normal games, whatever, Smurf accounts, etc. I think
flex queue.
Yeah, flex queue. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I 100% agree. This is where I'm leaning. I also feel like if you play like for a really long time in low elo, you start to develop some of those bad habits, maybe. Mm-hmm. to try to just combat the bad habits that are already there. So definitely, like, if your goal is to just leave low elo, play a simple champion. There's a reason LS recommends Annie, you know. Mm-hmm. All the time. Play an easy champion so you can focus on other aspects of the game. Awesome. Thank you, thank you, Ideas Guy. Next email is from Jason. Hey guys, I'm back with another email. So I've been hard stuck bronze the last couple weeks, probably because I played too much Warzone. Aiden knows a little bit about that.
True.
I switched off of Pyke because he just isn't feeling great, and went back to my main role of jungle with Viego and Kayn. I've been having much more success. Viego is still busted. I've only lost 2 or 3 games in the 10 I've played in the last week. Also, what do you guys think Isolde, Viego's wife, will do? Like, what will her abilities be like? Anyway, hope you have a great day and good luck on your climb, Jason. Yeah, I mean, I think Kayn and Viego are both excellent junglers. I think Viego is just strong, but I think Kayn is a fantastic jungler who will teach you like very good habits to get into as a jungle player.
Yeah.
He clears AoE camps really quickly, which, you know, can teach you like how to counter jungle. He doesn't need to kill with ganks, to have, you know, successful ganks, just getting a form orbs is really powerful on him. Yeah, I think he's really strong. And Viego. as for his wife, I would really like to see another, like, summoner character. I'm thinking, my initial thought was, oh, something like Yorick, like the release Yorick. And I realized that would be pretty cancer. So maybe that's not a great idea. but maybe a support who focuses on, like, debuffs rather than buffs, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hindering the enemy rather than benefiting your allies or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Do you have any thoughts?
I don't know. I feel like you kind of nailed that one. I just think that in general, like, I think it's really, really good. It's like you're trying to, like, learn with jungle with Viego and Kayn. That's, like, all I really want to touch on, is that I think that the only problem you're going to have with Kayn is that Kayn's, like, weak early, and it turns out if you're playing strong early game junglers, you'll have more success all the like, overall, just because you always have to play the beginning of the game. You don't always have to play late game. That's, like, one rule that was taught to me, like, a long time ago, and it's, like, always holds true, is that, yeah, Kassadin's great at the game for mid, but you know who's better mid? Early game characters, because you're always playing early game. You're not always playing late game. Same goes for jungle, though. So, like, that's your only problem you might have with Kayn. But enjoy your climb, man. I believe in you.
Hell yeah. So this is an email. The next email is from, oh, thank you, Jason. This next email is from Caleb. He wanted a quick note about Zillion, build from the King of 1v1s. Hi, I'm a new listener, but I really love this series. One of the things that I wanted to note is in the Zillion build, the wardstone only needs 20 wards in total to upgrade. Essentially, you have 20 wards/totems placed. You get to level 13, you buy the upgrade, and it immediately upgrades to the wardstone. And then with 1,200 more gold, you get the Vigilant Wardstone. Or you have 20 wards placed, you get to level 13, you buy the upgrade, you place the wards, then it upgrades to by itself, and then you upgrade it again to Vigilant Wardstone.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so thank you. I don't know if the explanation given in the podcast made it sound like you needed 20 before and after, and that would suck hard if that was the case. Cheers, Caleb. I personally always forget that support upgrade is in the game.
Yeah,
when I get to 6 items, so I'm not the best source on this, but I appreciate the clarification.
Yeah, it's nice having clarity.
Thank you, Caleb. For sure. 40 words is a lot.
Yeah.
Next email is from Juice J. Subject: Tom Kench. Hello, hello. Not a very long time listener, but a first time writer. I'm an all around player from OCE, but a Tom Kench main cum ranked. I found out about this podcast after meeting a fellow player in the climb that suggests that I check the podcast out. I now look forward to the weekly content. The information you guys provide is great, and the episodes are always wholesome. On the topic of Tom, whilst running Ghost Ignite, finding cum 11. The ult is essentially teleport. I find harassing my lane with my slimy long tongue, taking some hits, smashing ghosts, and pissing the lane off, bashing Laugh and Mastery 7 to the point they become so infuriated, they chase me into their death. Works in my favor, proceeding to win lane. My qualm, which he spelled like Tom Kench, is that although Tom dominates and will continue to destroy every top laner besides Illaoi, and allowing my jungle to help win other lanes, is that I feel as if he hasn't got the capabilities to carry a game. Pushing tower solely helps, but when you have a Sion jungle, Yasuo middle, roaming as a duo at level 3 trying to catch players running back to lane before figuring out it doesn't work then disconnecting, it becomes a sluggish race to defeat. I've tried multiple different builds, and I've also checked out the guide that was made, which I did find helpful. One build I have found that seems to work is Chemtank Swifty's Titanic Wit's End. If I'm fed, he goes Phantom Dancer, or Deadman/Force of Nature, depending. Not entirely sure where this is going. Maybe some feedback on champs and top I could try, or things I can do to help try and fix the smash lane, lose game predicament I find myself in. Is it that I'm not ganking enough? Am I not chowing down on my allies, ensuring their safety? Or is it the little faith that I have in the Sion Yas level 3 roams in between the turrets? Side query, thoughts on Rakan Zaya duo bot playing drafts with my flatmate, and it is amazing the synergy they have together. Thanks for reading the email. I told myself I wouldn't say it, but sorry for the length. GCJs. We'll approach this backwards. Zaya Rakan is super strong, especially if you are in comms with the other member of that. Very, very good.
The E range on Rakan's crazy with Zaya.
That's the biggest part, right? Yeah. I feel like the W damage coming from Rakan is like cheesy good early, but mm-hmm. starts to become, you know, non-existent. But doubling the E range on Rakan is crazy.
Yeah.
Super strong. Aiden, I'm going to say I feel like Tahm Kench is not a 1v9 character. I think that's sort of the issue here is you're playing a character that is not meant to smash every single character on the enemy team. But you're the Tahm Kench player, so give him some advice on how to go from smash lane, lose game to smash lane, smash game.
Yeah, so you have to think of it this way, that you're playing a support character top. So what support characters of the game can 1v9?
Exactly.
The answer is zero of them. And that includes
the answer is Seraphine.
Yeah, that's fair. But like, yeah, you can win every lane as Tahm Kench. That's your main objective, is that if you're putting the enemy laner behind, you're at least making the game a 4v5. That being said, if you do ever like watch any of my games, the way I try to play like my lane is I usually try to like win lane, get a lead. And if I need to use teleport top, I will like TP top for like big waves and stuff. But usually I'll like end up using my TP bottom and try to get like a double kill or like counteract a jungle gank and get like a triple kill like between the three of us bottom. Mm-hmm. Because if you can counteract like one of those and get your bottom lane going, if you're winning top side and bottom side of the map, it's like super easy. I also use my alt mid like to gank mid a lot. Like I'll just like push out the lane and then do scuttles, invade jungle camp, or like gank mid with either my alt or just like a big Q, because your Q is a 70% slow if you do hit it. So just gank more. Like if you are consistently winning lane, you should have enough of a gold lead to kind of just like walk your fat ass into like lanes and win them. So just like try to like pressure. Like I think I have a section in the video where it's like you get a lead every single game, and you just need to figure out a way to transition your lead, your solo lead, into a team wide lead, and that's usually from like ganking objective play, dragons, heralds, towers, etc. So don't be afraid to like throw away some of your CS lead if it means you're gonna get like kills bottom and stuff. So
yep,
good.
Yep, cool. Thank you, GC Jason, welcome aboard. Our next email is from Pedro. Hello guys, first of all, greetings from Portugal, a small paradise in Europe. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I have heard of Portugal.
Yes.
What I want to discuss with you guys is the Rune Glacial Augment. Right now, the only champion that takes it is Senna, and it's only used for the auto attack slow part. The laser beam slow is never used with the new items. What do you think of the rune at the moment? Should it be changed? Great podcast. Have a nice week, Pedro. I think it's cheesy and not as good as like Grasp, but I really like Glacial Augment, Stridebreaker, Scion. I think it's super good and allows him to not only gap close, but almost guarantee his Q landing. But Glacial Augment does feel like the cheesiest rune in like the cheesiest keystone, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's, they took away a lot of some of the active items that it was used for, like GLP spray or Spooky Ghost like is gone now.
Is there a single character that uses Glacial as like their primary rune?
I think just Senna. I think Senna's the only one, Senna. Honestly.
I'm trying to see if there's it just shows I'm like, so a great website, by the way, for like information is League of Graphs. I feel like they have the most like random assortment of shit. But yeah, I was trying to see if they have like a runes by like character and stuff, but they don't know. But I don't think there's any other character in the game probably uses Glacial, I would assume.
And I think like Senna makes good use of it because she just wants to auto attack twice, or like auto Q or Q auto, for instance. I think it applies on her ulti.
Yeah, it does. We got one more. Apparently Targ Jungle uses it. So
Targ Jungle.
All those Targ junglers out there. It's probably a good rune, because
that's kind of crazy.
Now we know Senna and Targ Jungle uses it, so it's probably actually doesn't need buffs.
Both very, very viable champions.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It probably should be changed, but I don't know what it would be changed to. I don't know if I have a better idea, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it definitely was like very heavily reliant on the glacial items last season. I just don't know if there's a good way to fix that. Like maybe you could. I don't think you can make it apply on abilities. That'd probably be too OP, right?
Yeah, that was my thought. Hmm. Yeah, I think it would be 2OP though.
I guess that would be like our like 1 minute change, like without like thinking about stuff, would be make it apply on abilities and probably have a longer cooldown and probably slow less.
Maybe make Rylai's proc it every so often.
But then it's going to be item dependent again. I just think the idea, like, let's just say, like, make it a play on abilities, but it'll be less powerful. Let's just, as our, like, quick fix, I guess. But
yeah, maybe it shoots out, the laser beam, like, to the slow target as well. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, honestly. Awesome. Thanks, Pedro. Our next email is from Astok Supra. Greetings, fine gentlemen of LeagueCast. Astok Supra here. I'm a longtime listener. I decided to email for the first time because I think I have an interesting discussion about the jungle role and why I think it's the strongest role in low elo, though for different reasons than at higher levels of play. A little context. I've been playing the game off and on since late season 2, but I've always consumed more content than played, pro play, analysis, etc. This has resulted in an interesting problem for me as I finally make a real stab at the ranked ladder, as my knowledge of how the game should be played often doesn't match with my own mechanical skill and the knowledge of my teammates. I have a real passion for top lane, and I love playing the champions that typically go there. Using my knowledge of matchups, lane manipulations and such, I'm often able to create a 50 plus CS lead in multiple level lead by starving my lane opponents after I've secured a lead. However, because of the nature of low elo, by the time I have scaled to the point where I can leave lane, except the occasional TP play that allows me to have a small impact elsewhere, my team is often down 15 to 20 kills and refusing to make any attempt to staunch the bleeding, as they have all tilted out of their minds. In a moment of frustration, I decided to queue jungle, and I immediately turned my losing streak into a winning streak. The role of the jungle freed me up to have an impact on the constant fighting over nothing that occurs in the depths. This is why I think the jungle is the strongest. I can take advantage of the constant fighting just to secure myself a lead in the way top lane isn't able to, existing on an island away from the ever-important bot lane and the mythical beast known as dragons. I can think, where would I never go in this situation to make the correct play, and then immediately go there and help my team? Anyway, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this epiphany by me, an old shitter with a little too much knowledge for his own good. Thanks for the great podcast. It keeps me entertained while I drive for work. A man's email is neither too long or too short. It is precisely the length he means to make it. A
Hell stock yeah. Supra.
Nice little reference there. I think that's a good point. And sort of the same, maybe not the same reason entirely that it's good in high elo as well. I'm sorry. Where in high elo it's more about your mechanics, I guess. But in low elo, having that game knowledge and just knowing, like, okay, I'm not gonna be able to gank top lane this game, so I'm just gonna, you know, force bot lane and mid lane a bunch. Mm-hmm. Like, having that knowledge and just knowing what all the characters do, I guess, is like really nice. If it's like awesome, it's working. If you can staunch the bleeding, which I think is a difficult thing for people to do in low elo, you know, go for it. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Good luck, Stock Super. I hope you can continue that into the mids and the high elos. The last email is from Jacode or Jacody. Subject, how do I carry after getting fed? Hey guys, so during this week's community night, I was playing Echo Jungle and matched up against Nick playing Lee Sin. Considering that Nick is a Diamond 4 player and I'm stuck in Bronze, I was nervous but very excited to try and see how I match up against someone at that rank. It's not every day I get to play against Diamond players. The game started off very well. I was clearing camps quickly and landed successful ganks in the bot lane. I was even tracking Nick pretty well and farming his camps when he was in other lanes. At one point, I was 7-0-2 and had a 2-level lead, had a slight CS lead, and felt pretty good about myself. I started to feel a glimmer of hope that if I can hold my own against a Diamond player, then I can surely get out of Bronze. I then watched in horror as we lost every single dragon fight. Soon the enemy team had a 4-dragon lead, and I couldn't do anything in a team fight without getting chain CC'd and dropped faster than my dad's condom 9 months before I was born. Honestly, it made me sad because sometimes I genuinely feel that I am better than my elo, but no matter how many times I get fed in the jungle or win my lane, I can never carry games. I'm starting to realize that if I get fed in most of my games but my win rate is still 50%, then I've got to be doing something wrong. How the fuck do you carry a game is basically what I'm asking. Best regards, PS, get wrecked, Nick, Jacode. I'll have you guys know that we won that game. And I had one really nasty insect.
Yeah.
Prowler's Claw Lee Sin is disgusting. Also, my Lee Sin is dog shit. So
yeah, it just allows you to insight for free though with Prowler's Claw.
Yeah, yeah. Like you press it and then you just queue up your ultimate. It's so free, and it does 15% more damage.
Yeah.
So obviously each game is different. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about our game last night, because I think contextually that's not going to like help a lot of players. But I think like just some general advice to keep your lead and put it like transition it into like winning the game. I really like to gank lanes that are already ahead in the jungle. I don't want to gank a lane that's losing because I feel like the chance of it going even worse and then you get doubled is really high. And that happens fairly often. And it's just so much easier to get another lane ahead and then deal with the consequences afterwards, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that would be my first piece of advice. The second piece is like dragons are critical. We had in that particular game, we were losing, you know, by kills. I was getting fucking jungle diffed really hard. but we had a 26-minute ocean soul. So the game's over at that point. It doesn't matter how poorly I was doing in the jungle. Like we had ocean soul that early in the game. Like it's over. So like placing more priority on dragons is pretty important. Mm-hmm. I wish Colton were here because I think he'd have better jungle advice.
No, I do think that junglers, if you're not like confident in your own ability to mechanically carry, or if you're not playing a mechanically like a character that's going to carry the jungle, if you're playing like more tank jungles and stuff like that, you're playing Echo, so in theory you could carry like a game just like damage wise. But it is a safe bet just to go for dragons. The only dragon that's not going to the only soul that's not going to auto win you the game is Wind Soul. And then you're like obviously fighting for like actual Elder, but like Dragon Soul is like a great win con, like in so many games. I feel like it's very underutilized.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of those things where like, okay, we don't have to win a team fight. We just have to get a pick and then take dragon because they can't fight us then, you know? And it's, I feel like it's really shitty. I wish Dragon Soul or Dragon Spawns were like a minute longer. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the perfect game time for me personally. But yeah, I mean, alternatively, like, Try to review some of your replays and see like what you were doing wrong in specific. Like, okay, there was a team fight. I wasn't there in time. What was I doing beforehand that was so important to not be with the rest of my team? I think something you were doing really well in this game that you should continue to do is like make sure you're farming your camps like when they're up. That seems pretty straightforward, but a lot of the time it can be really easy to fall behind once like laning phase is kind of over for everybody. And then you sort of like stifle your income. You're not really doing anything. You're not getting experience, so you're falling behind with your smite. You're not getting any gold, so you're not like you're basically becoming like a worse support. So make sure you're like you should honestly use what Blitz GG, the Blitz app to like track jungle spawns because it does that, right? Like it puts a little spawn.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah, or a little timer on your camps. Definitely would recommend that. Don't be on the opposite side of the map when your camps are spawning. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that helped. Thank you, Jacode, for the email. Appreciate you pooping on me in that community game.
Yeah.
Which for everyone, we play community games Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern to about 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is join the Discord channel that everybody else is in.
It was popping last night.
The voice one. It was popping. We had, I think at one point we had like 15 people when I was there. And I think it only got more bumping when I left, but
yeah, as usual.
Yeah. but that'll be it. For this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening. Shout out to UGG. Please make sure that you're clicking on the link. It'll help us a bunch and get more episodes sponsored. You can send us an email to mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Check out our Twitches. We are twitch.tv/leaguebasket/leaguecastfrost. Check out our Facebook. We are LeagueCast on there. On Twitter, we are @leaguecast. Check out our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. And if you want to join the Discord, it is leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.